This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know, there's nothing more satisfactory than a Derby Day win. Oh, wait. Yes, there is. It's a Derby Day win without two of your key players, your manager and your first team coach. Cheers, Notts County. It was Davis Keeler-Dunn who rose himself into Mansfield Town folklore with a stunning strike in the first half at Wankhall Stadium to lift the roof off the home fans and silence those magpies. It was a victory which the Stags perhaps didn't see coming, especially as they knew they were out without key players. But a surprise addition in the starting lineup an hour before kickoff gave us that little bit of a boost that we needed, and the Stags recorded 3 points, a clean sheet, and cemented their place in second in Skybet League Two. Could that Derby Day victory be one to propel the Stags forward for the remainder of the season? This is the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. As always, come and have your say on your team as we recap the Derby Day delight, look ahead to two very tough fixtures for very different reasons, and of course, continue to reflect on that goal. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. It is great to have you with us, as always, and it's a delight to be back live after last week's pre-recorded effort. Although, it was quite funny because we were recording it as if we were live, and halfway through we did get a breaking news transfer. I doubt there'll be as much action tonight, but you never know when you're joined by not one, not two, not three, but four famous faces of the Mansfield Matters Parish. Let's say hello and good evening to some of them. It's a man who's been sunning himself for the last few weeks, but I'm assured that he was back for the Notts County game. And he's got some new shirts as well. Evening, Nick.
Hi, mate. Yeah, I was. I was back. I did make sure I was back.
It's the first thing to do when you book any holiday, isn't it? Let's say hello, good evening, and welcome to regular faces. It's Clive Parkin. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. A special good evening to the man in the wardrobe.
And the man in the wardrobe. Who's the man in the wardrobe?
Man with all the shirts on, hangers behind him.
Oh, very good, very good. Let's say hello, good evening, and welcome to the man who pronounced a victory at 5 p.m. on Saturday. It was Mr. Alan Wilson. Evening, Al.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
And let's say hello, good evening, and welcome to a man who, for the past 6 months or so, technology has failed him. He's never been able to get on a virtual podcast. We've only ever heard his voice, but now we can see his face because he's got technology. It's Jim.
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's well.
Good to see you, mate. So, an absolute fivesome tonight. A delight of Mansfield Matters faces. Let's delve straight in, shall we? As always, get involved in the comments and have your say on your team. And let's delve straight in, Nick, by reflecting on that victory on Saturday afternoon at Wankhall Stadium.
Derby Day Delight. What a derby it was.
Yeah, it was quite surreal, actually. I thought at 1-0, I would have put all the money that I will ever earn into the fact that it wouldn't stay 1-0, and it did. And the longer it went on, the more I thought, actually, it might stay 1-0. It was rather, I'd say, unexpected, in the case that we're normally good against Notts County at home, aren't we? So there was that. But I don't think anyone quite expected us to be comfortable. I know they did have some chances, but I thought it was reasonably comfortable. And looking at the table afterwards, we're in such a great position. To, you know, if you'd have told us before the first county game that by the second county game we'll be 10 points ahead of them, or whatever it is, 9-10 points, you know, I don't think you'd have quite believed that. So it was a brilliant game, makes the weekend as it always does, and sets us up nicely for the rest of the season.
Jim, there was a little bit of trepidation before kickoff because we were all worried about the Aidan Flint thing, the suspensions and what have you. But even, I think, when we sort of saw Flint named in the lineup, we were chatting, weren't we, before the game, and we were still a little bit apprehensive, but we needn't have been. Has he froze? I think he's froze. Alan, I'll put it to you.
Yeah, it's like rabbit in the headlights, bless him. Yeah, there was no need to be concerned, I didn't think. As soon as O'Toole went to Wimbledon, I thought that was the catalyst, you know, he'd be playing. Whether it'd be strapped up, whether it'd be full of injections, whatever. We knew he'd be out there. As soon as O'Toole went, I don't think there was any doubt in it whatsoever. And Williams, wow, what a game.
Let's try it again. Jimmy, you there?
Back to me. It sort of cut out for a minute. Oh, about Aidan Flint.
Jim, you're making the rest of us really good.
Well, you know, serving a purpose. I think the county game was a sort of game. Like Clough said, it wasn't physical, was it? So they had they got small, apart from McGoldrick, small, tricky, quick players. So he was never going to be pushed about. But, you know, I don't think, as long as you can sort of get painkillers down. I mean, if it was up to him, he's always going to get out of it. So it was a brilliant boost. I think Clough probably knew from about Wednesday or Thursday he was going to play.
I think it was a very good psychological mind game trick on Clough's part, Clive, to sort of say that, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. Because I think most people, especially in the Notts County fans, would have gone, well, he's their star man and he's probably not going to play, and that's a big advantage. It was a mind game which worked very well, I thought.
Yeah, I think he took the opportunity to keep one of his cards close to his chest. And because when he was being interviewed during the week, he certainly answered questions in a way that he doesn't normally. So I thought this is Clough doing something different here. So, I mean, I said he wouldn't play because logic says he shouldn't have done. I'm glad I was wrong because it was important to us. But I have to say that the whole team worked really hard all through the game. And credit to Notts County, they came to play football.
Yeah, they did, Nick. And I think, you know, one of the other things that we weren't sure of on Saturday was who was going to play in the right back position. We potentially earmarked Lucas Aiken to play there. Lewis Brunt has played there on one or two occasions, although I don't think any of us really want to see that again. But George Williams was a name which was also milling about, and he got his first start for the Stags in the league. And do you know what? He had an absolutely solid game and fully deserving of the supporters' man of the match nomination through social media, Nick.
Yeah, I thought he'd been really unlucky not to play. I mean, I'll go back to the first game of the season at Crewe. I thought he came on and played well. I saw him at Accrington. He played really well when he came on at Accrington when we were there. I've never seen him come on and look poor, really. He's always played, well, really composed on the ball. I suppose the only question would be his pace, but his positioning was bang on. I thought he looked like he'd play. If you said he played every week, he didn't look out of place, did he? I thought he was fantastic, especially as he'd been ill as well, hadn't he, the week before. So that sort of added to the to the question. I mean, I wasn't sure who he'd go with, to be honest. I would have liked to have seen Williams, but for some reason, I didn't think he would play him. I thought Brunt was going to play then. There's going to be some weird, you know, sort of the other three would be some weird combination of Mansfield players. But yeah, I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was really good. I mean, he came off, didn't he? So I don't know if he's injured. He didn't really make any sort of comment on that. But
he just got cramp,
I
think.
Was it cramp, yeah. Sam? So yeah, I thought he played really well and fully deserved to keep his spot. You know, I think we've had three right backs this season, and all could argue that they should be playing every week, because all three of them, when they've come in and played there, have been brilliant.
As always, keep your comments coming in. Heads up, Jim, I'm coming to you for the answer for this next one, so just prepare yourself. As Thomas says in the comments, I think, as strange as it might seem, the Wimbledon result and the circumstances around it could be a catalyst for the rest of the season. Seems like Clough has used it to create a siege mentality. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
I'd absolutely agree. I think after the game before the Wimbledon game was the Sutton game, wasn't it? And it was really, really flat. And we seem to have lost all our fight and spark. And I think if the Wimbledon game served the purpose to spark us into life, then it was worth defeat. Because I think since then, we've been on our toes and front foot. And it's nice to see a bit of fight back in the lads. We'd gone flat over Christmas, well, just after Christmas. And it seems to have come back now. And I had more faith after the Wimbledon game than I did the Sutton game, to be honest with you.
As strange as it might...
Even though we lost the Wimbledon game, but yeah.
Yeah, as strange as it might seem, Alan, as well, I think what Thomas has said in the comments is absolutely spot on, and like what Jim said there, we almost needed a game like that, didn't we? One where decisions didn't quite go our way, we had a couple of red cards or a couple of dodgy incidences and really up against it. Sometimes you need something like that, don't you, to sort of jolt you back into life.
I think it must have gelled everybody together, you know, from what Nigel was saying in his interviews and whatever. I think it just, it was one of those things that happened. It probably, like you say, it needed to happen, whether we like that or not. But, you know, it certainly served its purpose, because even though it was a derby match and you'd expect the atmosphere to be there, which it was, to be fair, I thought the fans were fantastic on Saturday, by the way. But, yeah, it's just, you know, let's go on this run again now. We've started. We've had the win. Let's carry it on.
Yeah, it's all about what we do next, isn't it, Clive, about how we utilise this result. And that almost turbulent little bit of spell which we went through in January, when you reflect back on it, it's how we take that now into these February fixtures, which are going to be key for us.
Yeah, I think just before I move to answer that question, just a word of congratulations to the referee and his assistants. I thought they had a good game. Whether that's because we're so used to such diatribe, I don't know, but I thought he did well. Yeah, I think we're in a good position moving in through the rest of this month and into the final straights of the season. And I think, of course, next week against the mighty Forest Green Rovers, we've got the two suspendees back and Clough is allowed back on the touchline, although I think he should go up in the stands more often.
Yeah, let's talk on that, Nick, because it was a very funny interview sort of afterwards. You know Clough by now. He's going to have a dig where he can. He wouldn't have had that dig had we lost that game. Of course he wouldn't, but it was a very sly dig and saying, oh, I want to thank the people that enforced the touchline ban because it gave me a bit of a wake-up call. But actually... first and foremost, let's give credit to Adam Collin and Dave Waldie, who ran the dugout and everything, the substitution superbly well. And it didn't affect us whatsoever, did it, those two not being down there? In fact, like Clive has just said, having those different having those different vantage points probably actually played in our favour a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, certainly from his interview, he seemed to enjoy the other view. I mean, I can't remember what game it was a couple of home games ago when he was sat in the Bishop Street for no apparent reason. He wasn't banned. He just decided to have the first half there, which I thought was a bit weird. So you get a worse view there than you do actually in the dugout, which is strange. But yeah, it didn't seem to make a difference. And at one point, it was quite funny. I could see Clough and Andy Garner. And Colin was on the phone, but neither of those two were on the phone. I thought it was quite interesting. I was thinking, who is he on the phone to? Because none of those two had a phone in their hand, yet Adam Collin was stood on his mobile, so I was quite interested in who was on the phone.
He was ordering a takeaway.
Well, I thought it was the Food Hub thing. I thought he'd got 5% off or whatever it was. But no, it didn't make any difference. And maybe having a different voice and a different set of people to prove something to maybe made a bit of a difference. I don't know. But it certainly didn't have any negative effect that I could see. And maybe having Garner on the other side, maybe it was a different voice to the players on the other side. I don't know. But he certainly didn't have any negatives that I could see.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I heard that he was on the phone to Alan Wilson trying to get involved in the Food Hub halftime challenge. he would have really been on the phone to Tom, the analyst, who is in the
probably.
It was really good. And we obviously knew, Jim, I'm coming to you again, so prepare yourself. We obviously knew that Nigel Clough would have the touchline ban, which we spoke about before. But we weren't quite sure on Andy Garner, but we knew that he'd been involved in a bit of an incident as well. When you get one, you know, a manager touchline ban, you know you've already got your first team coach or your assistant there or whatever. But to have two is very much uncalled for, or very much unheard of. But like we've just said, they coached very, very well. And actually, it maybe took a little bit of pressure and stress off the players in a very important game and just allowed them to relax a little bit and, you know, like we said, have those eyes in different places.
To be honest with you, I think the work's done during the week, isn't it? It's too late anyway. It's like revising for an exam, isn't it? You're going to pass, you're going to pass. If you're going to fail, you're going to fail. And I don't think it makes much difference. I think as soon as they go on the pitch, you know, they'll just do their thing. And I don't think it really affects the players, to be honest.
No, it doesn't.
So the work's done during the week.
Yeah. I think it's all about, you know, just having those different eyes in different places and just sort of being able to watch things from different vantage points. And I guess as well, Alan, the one thing we've not talked about is when you're on the touchline, and we see this with Nigel Clough and Andy Garner quite a lot, they can get swept up, can't they, in the occasion, in the decisions by the fourth official, by the referee, and become so wrapped up in that and the arguments that they're not actually watching the game as much. But by taking them away from it, they're forced to almost watch the game. They can't remonstrate. They have to do that afterwards, or they just simply can't do it. And actually, maybe is that almost like when you get in a shower and it's cold before the hot runs on, it wakes you up a little bit and it actually gives you that little bit of refresh that you need.
Well, there are two things I noticed on Saturday, Craig. David Waldie and Adam Collin never really berated the fourth official. I think I saw him talking to him a couple of times, you know, whether, but not heated. It was just like a normal conversation. And I was lucky enough to do the Man of the Match interview with Aidan Flint after the match. And I asked him the exact question. I said, did it have like an altered effect or anything with Nigel and Andy Garner not being on there? He says, no, not really. He says, it's basically what Jim said. We've done the work in the week, you know, we're on the pitch, we do it, we know what we're doing. And it's just, you know, those words of encouragement on the side. And that's exactly what he said. And it worked a treat, didn't it?
Keep your comments, opinions coming in. We'll go to some more in a minute. Let's stay on the subject of Flint, Nick, for a second. Like we said earlier, a surprise inclusion in the lineup. Well, a surprise to some. I think we all saw it coming, to be fair, especially after his slight slip in the press and after letting John Joe Tour go out. By the by, anyway. But obviously, he's got this bit of an injury. It's a partial dislocation, not a full dislocation, and a little bit of a muscle tear. He's playing with injections. He's playing with it strapped up. But it didn't seem to affect him whatsoever. Yes, we'll have to manage it and we'll pick his Tuesday's games. But like Nigel Clough has said in the week, Nick, it doesn't bother him if he doesn't train now, other than maybe one day a week, as long as he can get through games. It's all on Aidan Flint and what he thinks that he can do. And I think knowing Aidan Flint and sort of having seen how he's been this season, Aidan Flint will just go, yep, I'll play.
Yeah, I think he'd play with it hanging off, wouldn't he? He's one of those sort of, if he was just held up by the sleeve of his shirt, I think he'd carry on. I think the biggest giveaway for me that made me quite laugh was that they were in the middle of central London and couldn't get anyone to do his hospital scan in 4 days. And I thought, that's a bit interesting. When Kilgore had his operation about 2 days after it happened, you know, they couldn't find anyone to possibly do a scan in the middle of central London, but never mind. I think it's up to him, isn't it? He doesn't need to train. I mean, he's not going to learn anything, is he? Tactically, there's nothing really for him to develop now for the end of the season. So just up to him, and I don't think he'd miss a game. If it was interesting whether Clough ever does decide to rest him, I suppose if he's telling you he's fit, you're not going to rest him, are you? You're going to keep playing him, and there's only really big games to come. There's not really any games you can leave him out. Maybe he might think about it if Macca was fully fit and he could put Cargill and Brunt at the back instead. I don't know, but for me, like you say, I completely agree. I think it'll be Flint's decision, and I cannot see him stepping aside for any game.
I think the big conundrum, Clive, the fact that, you know, Aidan Flint will probably 99% of the time say I'm fit. In fact, I think 100% of the time he'll say I'm fit to play regardless of whether it's hanging off or not. And therefore, you want to play him because he's your captain, he's your leader, he's got that experience. But at the same time, it's only going to take one challenge, one jump, one bad landing to potentially see him out for the remainder of the season and do more damage than good. I'm thinking in particular about the quick back-to-back games we've got this week. Obviously, Forest Green away on Saturday and then Harrogate at home on Tuesday night. Jordan Bowery, of course, is back from suspension. You've got Stephen McLaughlin, who's itching for game time now as well. You've got so many options in there that you could afford to rest him for one of those games and shuffle things around. George Williams, you know, he deserves to keep his place in the side. He wants to play centre-back rather than right-back. So there's so many options that you can have there. But at the same time, Clive, it's disrupting the back four. What we've done so far this season is build on strong foundations by disrupting that back four as minimal as possible, as little as physically possible. But now we're in this position where we might have to disrupt it. Could that be a negative, or could we use it to our advantage, keeping players fit, keeping leaders in there and staying as strong as physically possible?
Well, if it ain't broke, don't mend it. And we've got the best central pairing of defenders that we've had for a long time. And I do think you mess around with those only if you've got no choice. Having said that, I would imagine that Crosby's information about the opponents of the future games will be asking himself, are we going to have a serious aerial threat from this team or not? And if it's a team that doesn't go for that sort of attacking process, then maybe Clough might say, well, we can afford to let him have a bit of recovery time. But if he's not injured to the point where he can't play, I'd play him every time.
Yeah, it is really a conundrum, isn't it, of whether you do that or not. And he is our captain, he's our leader. But the other thing to throw back into that mix, Alan, is the fact that Elliot Hewitt is only 2-3 weeks away from knocking.
Yeah.
And options continue to grow. It's not like last season or the season before that where we're all of a sudden looking at Lucas Aitkins and saying, can you play centre-back for 45 minutes?
Yeah, it would have been different, I think, or would have been interesting against Forest Green, excuse me, if Troy Deeney was still there and playing, you know, because he's a big bustling centre-forward. That's his type of game, isn't it? So it would have been interesting whether, you know, Flint against Deeney. And like Clive said, if there's anybody that's a centre-forward, you know, in the few games coming up that we've got that does play that sort of game, it will be quite interesting to see whether he keeps his place. But as also, as like Marie Wilson would have said, because she's a top-class physio, if, you know, the weeks that go by, it's only going to get stronger and stronger. And if he doesn't train as much, if he's only training one day a week, I think that'll be a good thing, you know, because it's going to get stronger and stronger. It's going to get more, he's going to get fitter with his shoulder and everything. It's not going to be needed to be strapped up as much with painkilling injections. And I just think he'll play right through.
Yeah, I see no reason why he won't. And I don't think he'll be bothered too much by being ragged around. I think he'll just minimise his training and just sort of focus on that. Right, let's move to another topic. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. Jim, heads up, I'm coming to you again. Thomas King. Also glad to see DKD back in the 10 role. So much better coming on to play rather than back to goal. Pretty certain he wouldn't be in that position the goal if he had played up top. I completely agree 100% with every word written in that comment. Jim, over to you.
What, DKD? Yeah, he's the man, isn't he? He's still a bit of quality up top, isn't he? He's certainly at that end of the pitch. He's first name down on the sheet. And I agree. I mean, I used to like it, the idea of him being further up, pushed into the nine. But I think he is on reflection, better in the 10. He's just got to have the right people around him. But he was brilliant on Saturday. Not just the goal, but he was just sharp. And he looked dangerous, and everything he did was quality. And I think even though people are a bit frustrated with the window, I think for me it's just as big that we didn't lose him, because I was fully expecting someone to come in with a bid for him. And we don't know, perhaps they did, but the fact that we've kept him, I think, is huge. And I think just as good as a new signing.
Let's stay on the topic of the window for a minute, Nick. Obviously, last week when we recorded the podcast, the window was still very much signed Tom Nichols during said recording. But we haven't really had time to reflect wholly on it, so we'll do that now in the next 10 minutes or so. First and foremost, what were your opinions generally of the transfer business conducted by Mansfield Town during January, Nick?
I think at the start of January, I said we wanted one striker, and that was it. And we signed him. I think then the Oates injury came along. The only thing I would have liked is maybe someone with a bit more pace up front as a backup option, maybe a loan, maybe. But that was, we didn't need any more defenders. We certainly didn't need any more midfielders. So it was only really up front that we'd looked a little bit pedestrian at times in the last month or so. So we've ticked a box, haven't we, really? I mean, maybe I was expecting a different type of striker, maybe something different. Nichols seems a little bit in the DKD mould, but in the Swan sort of mould. But, you know, we can't complain. He looks like he's got quality. He had 10 minutes and I thought he looked really good on the ball, really confident, some good touches. So we certainly can't complain. Like Jim said, we haven't lost anybody. apart from O'Toole, which was obvious. I thought Boateng might go out the door, maybe, but that didn't happen. But again, we're stronger to have him than not have it, you know, than him gone somewhere else. So, you know, all in all, I think it was a good window, really, because we didn't need to tweak a lot, did we? Let's be honest.
I think there was a lot of disappointment in the air, Clyde, but I think that was probably more a case of people wanting to sort of keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, looking at what other clubs have done. But I think what Nick has said there has hit the nail on the head. We only really needed one striker before the Oates thing came in and before the Oates injury sort of happened. And after that, I know people do come in. Really, we've sort of kept our calm, kept our composure. And as Nigel Clough said, we're only ever going to bring one in. That was to Clive, by the way.
Yeah, I'm tempted to try to find a counter argument. There isn't one. I think I'm happy with the acquisition we've made. We only needed to tweak that we're not in the position this window that we were the same time last year or the year before. And if you get players in just for the sake of it, it can disrupt the quality of the squad you've already got. We've seen that happen.
And I think that's a vital thing to add as well, isn't it, Alan? The fact that, like Clive's just said there, if you bring too many players in, you are almost having to start again and bond. What we've done is we've done our research really, really well. We've obviously been after Nichols for a few years. We've allowed an experienced player to go out and get game time because he was never going to get game time here, which is a shame. But when you add in all the variables of Hewitt coming back, etc., etc., etc.,
simply demonstrates the quality of our squad, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think, sort of like Clive's just said there, Alan, it's not bringing too many people in means that we can just continue nicely bubbling along, boiling along, and just sort of plain sailing rather than doing what we did two seasons ago, which was, well, and previous seasons prior to that as well, which was bring three, four, five players in and completely disrupt the path we were on and veer off into the ditch.
Well, I think it's been well documented by a lot of people that if Oates hadn't been fit, I don't think we'd have got anybody in, to be fair. But the one that he has got in is one that he's chased for quite a while. And also, it's through all reports, you know, I mean, people are probably going to say that anyway, but he wanted to come to Mansfield. And it's, you know, it's been well documented that he did want to come to Mansfield through some of the other fans and whatever have said about him. So it can only be a good thing. And I think he'll complement what we've already got because he is something slightly different. And like Nick said, he did look quite clever, capable, call it what you like, confident. He only had 10 minutes, but those 10 minutes, he looked quite good. Same as Swanee did, to be fair.
Yeah, he did. Let's stay on the subject of Will Swan for a second, Jim. Greg in the comments says, as Clough said in his interview, Swan can almost be like a new signing. The last couple of games, he started to look like the player we had last season. He's looked like he's gained a yard of pace on Saturday, so he could be the Oates replacement, sort of. And I think on the back of that as well, when you add in the fact that we've brought Nichols, that sort of kept him on his toes a little bit. We've got so many options up there. We've not disrupted the apple cart, and we've given him the opportunity, which to be fair, he's deserved. And I felt on Saturday, Swan took it, and I agree with everything that's been said. It will be like a second new signing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, later, we saw that last season. We knew it was always in there. He just had a bad start to the season. He's a young lad, and young lads are inconsistent. And he was always going to come good, in my opinion, at some point. We just didn't know when. But, I think it's no coincidence he started the game and he looked better. Yeah, when you come on as a sub, it's all the way to the game and get the pace of the game, and then before you know it, it's the end of the game. So I think a run of starts is probably what he needs. And I think it's nice to see. Yeah, wasn't it, about around Christmas time, whether he was going to lose his way a bit and whether he was going to stay with us. But see. And I still, he's not like Oates quick, is he? But he's I don't know what the word, he's sharp, isn't he? He's bright. And he sort of replaces that bit of dynamic play that you get from Oates.
It's clever
to see.
As well.
Yeah, it definitely is clever as well.
Good movement.
Obviously, in terms of partnerships as well, we saw a little bit on Saturday of what Tom Nichols can do, of course. you always are going to start with Lucas Akins. I think that's sort of embedded in Clough's DNA. But he's got the options now. And I don't know about you, but just from the glimpse that I saw, I actually feel that Nichols could work quite well with Swan, and it could give us another attacking option. If we were ever to go with a 4-3-3, or Akins had to miss a game or drop a little bit wider or fill in elsewhere, gives us more options.
Yeah, I think so. I think they look like quite good together, actually. I thought they looked really good, Akins and Swan. I thought, wasn't sure how that dynamic could work particularly. You'd think it should work, but neither have been in particularly great form. But I thought they complemented each other really well. We do have a habit of aiming balls at Akins' head, which never quite helps him out. He receives some horrific passes. You know, a lot of behind me were still moaning about his touch sometimes, but some of the passes he gets, like aimed at his neck, and he still somehow manages to sort of bumble his way around and get the ball down. I thought he had a great game holding the ball up. And I think having two up front makes a massive difference, because the ball doesn't come back half as much as it does when you've just got one up top. Yeah. And I think we've really struggled. I think it takes a really good player to play up front on your own and be successful. You know, we see in the Premier League, there isn't many who do it. Yet we expect Lucas Akins, not really a striker in the first place, to do it. So I think a partnership of Swan and Akins, or Akins and Nichols, whoever it might be, I think will bear a lot more fruit than what we were trying to do before, which was try and cram the midfield a bit and get Maris in at 10 and put DKD up front. I think how we started Saturday is how I'd like to see us for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I know, Alan, you're a big advocate of DKD in the 10, aren't you? As am I.
Yep. Yeah, we've said that before, haven't we? We've said that it's his best position, I think. That's where he's scored most of his goals from. Because he just looked quality again on Saturday. He looked fit, he looked sharp, always wanting the ball. And I think he coached well with Cargill as well. They sent to make a bit of a partnership on Saturday. That they did.
Yeah, they certainly did. And it just gives him that little bit of creative freedom. It gives us a little bit of fluency in our play as well. You're listening or watching the Mansfield Matters podcast, depending on which medium you choose to do so. As always, keep your comments, questions and opinions coming in. Five of us on the panel tonight. We could have had the full seven, but some guy called Cam went off to do some other radio thing because he's a traitor. And Nathan Edge only appears when it's pre-recorded before 7 o'clock because he's too busy watching, Paw Patrol or something? I don't know. But Nathan, they are both watching. Nathan has said in the comments, absolutely fantastic reverse psychology from that Nathan Edge lad last week. Wasn't reverse psychology whatsoever. You just didn't back us. And Cam has actually put an insightful comment in there. So it's clearly somebody wearing a Cam Felton mask. Only joking, mate. It says, Swan has been gifted his chance through injuries and needs to make the most of it. Agree. Against Wimbledon and County, he looked dangerous and needs to keep grinding away, and the goals will start to come. He's not a bad player, just needs confidence that he had last season. Hopefully he will find it as well. Cam says, give me 10 minutes and I can join when I get to Sheffield train station. You're not getting in. Be honest, we'll be done in 10 minutes. You stay at home. You keep commenting, mate. You keep commenting. Because you know what I'll do if you jump on the stream. I'll just keep turning you off because it's what we do. Keep your comments coming in. Keep your questions coming in. Keep your opinions coming in. There's plenty more still to talk about here on the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. And we're back after these.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans by the fans, reflecting on a 1-0 win on Derby Day against Notts County. A victory, Jim Evans, which put us second in Sky Bet League 2. 2 points off of the leaders at Stockport County. Lots of games still to come. We haven't got any games in hand over the Hatters, unfortunately, at the minute. But lots of football still to be played. And I think this victory, the victory on Saturday against Notts County, could give us that little springboard that we need, because we're in such a good position now. We've just got to keep the pace and got to take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, if you look at our teams, I'm surprised we didn't fall out of the top three. It just shows how inconsistent the teams around us are. And we only have to be sort of semi-consistent, you know, win one, draw one, even the odd defeat, and we can stay in there. But if we can kick on and get a few results together, there's no reason. I don't see a reason why we can't win the title. I really don't.
That's a bold.
I think it's very possible.
A bold claim made by
Jim. There's players coming back.
I feel like you need to ring a bell of some sort, Craig, for that. We've not said a title on this podcast, and I've been on it for a couple of years now. No one's ever said the word title.
There you go. What do you make of Jim's claim, though, Nick?
Take anything top three, but 4 points.
So we're all quietly confident.
Nobody wants to put the neck on the line, do they? Like Jim's all of a sudden got a laptop, a camera, and gone, right, do you know what? Sod this, lads. I'm going to get my balls out. I'm going to show you what I mean.
He's gone for a title charge.
Everybody else is just cautiously backing away.
Listen, if you want a confident statement, here's one. Oh, you won't get relegated.
Yeah, I we're just Mansfield fans, aren't we? You can't be confident. How can you be confident? I've been going 26 years, I think, since I was five. We've only been promoted out of League Two once, so it's like, you know, you can't get that confident, can you? But we are in the best position we will ever be in. We're not going to be one of them teams who romps away with it like Leighton Orient did last year, or Forest Green the year before. We're always going to be like a leave it to the last season merchant, aren't we? That's sort of what we do. The last game, sorry. We're in a great position. I mean, we've not been great for a month and we're still 2 points off top. So what more could you ask for?
I think Jim's probably not wrong in that we've got every chance of winning the league, but I'd be quite happy to finish third. I think, and without having to get anything from the last game at Barrow, that would be my ideal. Yeah. And what we don't want to be doing is playing Chesterfield next year.
No.
You know what? I think.
Well, they're coming up anyway.
Oh yeah.
That we won't play them.
Do you know what? As tongue in cheek as we are, and we're sort of cautious, mainly because we've been burned in the past on this podcast and in general stag supporting history. But if ever Alan Wilson, there was a season where we can be quietly confident, and I mean very quietly confident, it has to be this season, doesn't it? We've put ourselves in the greatest position we've got. We've got the best squad we've had in years in terms of quality and depth simultaneously. Think, you know, it's not like we've said, it's not going to be a runaway thing, but we're in there and we've constantly been in there. It's been a building job. And if we do it up now, then we've only got ourselves to blame, surely.
Well, I don't know whether I can remember telling you right at the start of the season, Craig. Last time I had a cheeky bet on Mansfield Town, we won the Blue Square Premier League. And I've had a cheeky bet again this year, just a little cheeky one. So I'm just going for promotion. Simple as.
That's it. I mean, nobody really wants to say that we could win the title, Clive, and nobody other than Jim. But you know what? He's right. It is so tight in there. The wind can change, but at the same time, we can completely drop out. Who'd have thought a couple of months ago that Harrogate would be pushing the playoffs? They had a bit of a dreadful start and now, you know, only outside the playoffs on goal difference and what have you. You know, it can change in the blink of an eye. We've just got to stay consistent and not get carried away, because that is our problem, isn't it? We were not our problem as in us on the podcast, but our problem as a fan base and as a club. We will get carried away at some point, and that is where we will trip ourselves up.
Yeah, that's the Mansfield way. Everybody refers to it. That's what it is. You know, we get all our best players back for Saturday and we're playing a team that's languishing at the bottom of the league. You'd expect us to romp that. We'll find it tougher than people want it to be. But I don't think there's a team in this league that we should be frightened of. And when we play as well as we can play, we can beat anybody. And that's all we've got to try and do is get back on the form we had in the run-up to Christmas. And I think we saw a bit of that on Saturday. We saw some of it in Wimbledon, but we were robbed by circumstance there. So I think Jim nudged it earlier on. We've turned a bit of a corner and we've done it under difficult circumstances. We've got a pitch which is not good enough now, which has not helped a great deal. We've got a team that's worthy of a better surface to play on. But that's what we've got until next year. And I just think the money's been spent on players this year. It's probably the right thing to have done. And let's get out of this league. Let's give ourselves a chance in the league above. Let's not do what Forest Green did, because they mismanaged their promotion. And it couldn't have happened to a nicer man. But we are in it. Everybody's saying it. And I can't argue against it. We're in a better position now than we've been in 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Simon in the comments, Nick, has just put just 9 home games go. And earlier on, someone did mention about it being the best atmosphere that we've had for a while at Wancourt Stadium on Saturday. No doubt due to the fact it was a derby, it was a sellout. But those home fans, those 9 home games are going to be absolutely critical in this run. We know we're better away from home than what we are at home, but we need to make Wancourt Stadium for those final 9 home games of the season an absolute fortress. We need to come off of that pitch not only proud of the lads for the position they've put in, but we need to come off that pitch knowing that if we are beaten, then that team has earned it. We need to be hardworking and make these last 9 count. We've got to be what we were on Saturday, Nick, and that is the cliched 12th man.
Yeah, I think we just need to accept that every game is not, we're not going to be 3-0 up at half time, and then we do start poorly as a team, and we always have done, Mansfield. I don't know why, but we often do start quite poorly. And I think if we have a bad 10 minutes, the crowd does drop and that anticipation of the game at the start and the big atmosphere disappears. But we just need to just keep, you know, like Simon says, 9 home games left. And we just need to be behind them regardless of how we're playing. I think, you know, I've never played professional football, but I do imagine if the crowd's flat and you're getting moans and groans, and I do imagine it does affect your performance. But if on, you know, the opposite side, if we're right behind them and we the songs are singing and we're shouting and getting behind them and getting into the opposition, I think it does make a massive difference. And I think that, like you say, we've just got to, for those last few games, just be at it as a fan base as well. I mean, you can't argue with the numbers. You know, it's been amazing, the numbers we're getting this season, but we've just got, the noise has just got to be there a little bit as well, regardless sometimes of how the players are playing, because we often are a mirror of what's going off on the pitch, aren't we? Whereas sometimes we need to be separate to that.
I just think early goal is key.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, massively, yeah.
An early goal is key. Every time Mansfield score, you know, they have to, whatever defence mechanism, whatever, park the coach, call it what you like. If they're 1-0 down, they've got to change.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to lose the game. And it opens the gates for us as well.
We don't start very well, do we? That's
the early goal is absolutely key.
Yeah.
I think as well, what I find quite impressive at the moment is the impact that the Quarry Lane end can have.
Mm.
Because when that's full, you get people in there that get the excitement going as well. And Q Block gets a bit of support from the Quarry Lane end, which is nice to see and nice to hear as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Certainly is. Right, let's turn our attention to off-the-pitch matters before we do podcast predictions. One thing was trialled on Saturday. Jim, I'm not sure whether you go that way after the game or not. I presume you do. And that was Quarry Lane being closed with that traffic restriction order, which they put in place, a temporary traffic restriction order. No cars were on Quarry Lane. No cars were driving up or down it, which meant supporters were able to walk down the middle of the road and sort of get out of the game quickly. I've heard nothing but positives about it. What's your thoughts on it? Is it something which has been long overdue?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I do go out that way. I go down to the River Mourne and up towards Sheepish Lane. And it was much safer getting out. It was, you know, particularly in the winter, dark at the end of games. And so there's usually you see two or three people nearly get run over. So there's none of that. And when I actually got to my car, it was far quicker getting out. So it was much better from that point of view as well. So if that's something that can carry on, then yeah, much better. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't think there's a negative comment that you could find about it, Clive, to be fair. It is one, always been a bit of a temperamental thing. And we knew as crowds got bigger and bigger that it was going to cause more and more of a problem. And I know that, you know, there are some supporters, elderly supporters, that do struggle to walk that little bit further and things like that. But you can't win every battle, can you? There are ways and means. And if they can just about manage to get to down to where Curry's PC World is, down that little walkway there, it's actually probably a lot quicker and a lot safer. Or they could just hold back and go and have a little drink and wait.
Yeah, I think you have to try and cater for the majority. And if one or two people who have walking difficulties or rely on wheeled transport are put out, that's a shame, but it's got to be for the greater good of all. The reality is they can wait 10 minutes longer than they would like necessarily to do, wait for everything to clear, and then the traffic is opened up again. Because it's the same for those people who park in the car, who pay to park in our car park. They can't get out either. But it's a bit like the olden days. It's a bit like a Lowry painting at the end of the game now, with all these blokes walking down the street from Burnden Park. It just felt really old school on Saturday when we emptied the ground. And I got to my car quicker, no question. However, I didn't get very far in my car very quick for a while. I chose the wrong route. I tried to go down Bath Street that way and up Littleworth. It was like, it was a bad decision, let's put it that way. Once you're on it, you can't get off it.
That's very, very true indeed. Nick, you know, we're making strides off the pitch as well. I don't know if you've seen these photos going around. More and more work is being done to that bit outside of where the top pitch is, to try and sort of create a little bit more flow through there as well. It's something which we have to do as a club to, if we're going to get these sellout crowds, we've got to make more foot room out there. We've got to make more appealing activities and things like that. We are on the progressive move forward as a club, both on and off the pitch, which is pleasing to see.
I think we're becoming a bit more proactive than reactive. The club seemed to wait till something was a problem and then fix it, whereas now they seem to be looking a little bit ahead, and you can't see these crowds dropping now. I mean, at the minute I'm trying to document every kit the club wore in every game, and looking back on footage, it's incredible to see the emptiness of the ground. Even 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I mean, 3 years ago, it's completely empty. But 4 years ago, you just look at the stands and you just think, like, I can't even remember it being like, even the promotion season of 2001-02, in my head, every game was full. But when you look, it was the Cheltenham game and maybe one other, whereas every other game was not. So we haven't really had that problem. But, you know, it's a brilliant place to see full, isn't it? And obviously, we all hope that the Bishop Street will get sorted at some point, which I'm sure it will. But off the pitch, we are getting there. I still think there's a list of 100 things that me, Clive, Alan, yourself and Jim could put together that they could fix. But they are definitely, I think, looking ahead, and the staff they seem to have in most departments seem to also be, you know, unbiased and just doing things the right way, which is great to see, obviously.
Certainly is right. We're going to have one final comment, Jim, which I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to. Then we'll get an update on shirts from Nick. Then we'll do podcast predictions, and then we'll bugger off and go our separate ways into the night. And probably the local McDonald's will get some trade. Other restaurants are available. And that comment, Jim, is from our friend Nathan Edge, who was suddenly remembered where the podcast is. His kids are obviously in bed tonight. And he says, I think our atmosphere is better after a little bit of a bad run and when we aren't expected to win necessarily. It seems to be worse when we play the likes of Forest Green, Sutton and those down at the bottom, as we are just expected to demolish them. And when that inevitably doesn't happen, the noise levels drop. Jim, your response to that?
Do you know what? I'm not too worried, because our four more seasons not been great. So if we're scratchy home form, then surely that takes the pressure off home form in a way. The players can think, well, it's not really happened at home this season, so we can only get better. So again, I think once you're out on that pitch, I think you switch off to stuff like that. I think it's all a bit superficial. I think you just go into your bubble, and I don't think, if they're honest, the players really pay that much attention to the outside noise, if I'm honest.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a shirt update from our friend Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame. Nick, what have you been buying?
Lots of stuff. I quite like the announcement, though. Quite like that. I've just put two new ones there. I've got a Danny Rose shirt. I've not got a Danny Rose shirt until last week, but I have now. And a Stuart Hadley shirt from 93-94. I've also got the away shirt. That was a sub. That was a sub shirt, and I'm trying to dig into who wore that. I think Lee Wilson wore it and a couple of others. But they're quite hard to find in Match One, so I'm quite pleased with that. But my usual plea to anyone who has any Match One shirts, please do let me know if you've got any, and I will buy them off you, which is what I usually do. But also, I think some people might have seen the Mansfield Museum stuff, which hopefully the podcast might be getting involved with as well. But I will send a reminder out about that event as well to come down, and there'll be all sorts of shirt-related stuff, which I'm sure will be exciting for everyone. But I haven't really got... I've got a few bits in the pipeline, nothing particularly majorly exciting. A few people clearing out lofts and storage units and all sorts. Well, all fun and games.
We all certainly look forward to seeing it. We will, of course, be at that that event at Mansfield Museum. And we'll also be doing a couple of podcasts down there as well. She actually emailed me, bless her, early today to go, get your dates in. I need to get it sorted out. We will sort it out. Me and Nick are going to sit down and have a little chat about his little contact, but we're going to go for a Costa and have a little bit of a catch up and dig out a few names that we can get to do Legends Live Part 3. Yeah. Technically Legends Live Part 3 / Stag Stories. Whatever you want to call it, we might even come up with a different name. Who knows what might happen between now and then. Right, it's time for another key part of the show, although I know that we've peaked at Nick's shirts. But, you know, from one announcement to a horrible jingle. All right. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? It's the most hotly contested game in all of the internet, probably. It's podcast predictions, two games to look ahead to. First and foremost, congratulations to Nick Felton for finally reaching the 100-point mark. He still, unfortunately, though, sits second to Steve Nadin in the table. And Alan is still the runaway leader at the top of the Mansfield Matters Mini League, which is now incorporated gym. Welcome to the official league gym, by the way. Forest Green Rovers up first, then the league's bottom side. And let's start with the leader of the pack. Alan, your prediction for Forest Green Rovers, away, please.
Forest Green Rovers 0, Mansfield Town 2. And man of the match, Georgie Maris.
Clive, I'll come to you next.
Forest Green Rovers 0, Mansfield Town 2. Man of the match, Aikins.
Oh.
Nick.
Forest Green 2, Mansfield 3.
Ooh.
I know. Controversial, Al. I know. I've got to do something different, haven't I? And DKD, man of the match.
Jim, you're up next.
Forest Green 1, Mansfield Town 3. Man of the match, Lucas Aikins.
Aikins. I am going to go for a 6-0 win.
Who to?
Mansfield, obviously.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
Come on. I'm not Nathan. Man of the match, Tom Nichols. So, Harrogate up next then on Tuesday night at One Call Stadium. Let's go the opposite way round then for that one. I'll kick us off by going with a much more concise 1-0 win. Man of the match in that one will be Christy Pym. Jim, you're up next for Harrogate at home.
2-0 home win. Davis, man of the match.
Okay, Nick.
1-1 draw, Flint, man of the match.
Oh, Clive.
8-0 win.
Who to?
Mansfield. Flint, man of the match. He's going to get a hat trick.
think I better take some strips or
yeah. Alan, finish it off.
I'm going to go 2-0 again. Stags win. And I think I'll go for Mr. Cargill this time.
Excellent choice, as always.
We win 8-0 now.
8-0. I know. That's unreal.
I know. As always, if you want to get involved with podcast predictions, you can do so via the link in the description. You can put whatever scoreline you want. Just make sure you submit your guesses for either game 1 hour and no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff for either of those games. You can put your predictions in for all of the games for this month. And of course, we'll give you an update on the table at the end of the month. 8-0. Are you all right?
Well, you started it.
I think if they win 8-0, Craig, Clive ought to treat us all to a Nando's.
You know what? That's not a bad shout.
Oh, if we win 8-0, I'll be happy to buy you all Nando's.
Oh, you heard it first here.
Can I just steal a bit of time, Craig, for a shout-out?
Depends who it's for, but yeah, go on.
Owen Hardwick, he's somebody we know through football, through Clipston. And he used to be at Nando's. He's doing a charity drive over Easter. He's doing a squintillion steps or something. And he did one last year for a charity, a cancer charity. He's doing it for the Lashes Foundation this year. If you can, support him. Go to his Facebook page. There's a donation page there. He is a hardworking young man with every good intent. Let's support him.
Certainly is a top young man as well. And not only because he used to give us heavily discounted Nando's, but he's a very good young man and a very worthwhile cause as well. Right, that's almost all we've got time for this week. Final reflections, though, as we look ahead to two games. I'm going to go round the podcast panel. I'll start with Alan, then I'll go to Clive, then I'll go to Nick, and then Jim, I'll finish with you. And that is, of course, as we look ahead to these two games, Forest Green Rovers, bottom of the table, difficult place to go, as we know sometimes. Let's just hope that we get through 90 minutes. New manager in charge there. And then Harrogate, always been a bit of a bogey team. What are you expecting? Question from all of you. What are you expecting from the next two games? Because for me, we've all gone for, except for Nick, we've all gone for two wins. I'm personally expecting 6 points, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be getting 6 points from the next two games. Alan, you're up first.
Yeah, I always like to try and end this podcast on three words, Craig, which has been a fable of mine. Same again, please.
Clive.
Continue to gain momentum.
Oh, are we all going for three words? I didn't. That was a
thing. Well, that was four, actually. If you,
that was four, but
you failed last, didn't you?
I did fail maths, but Jim, we're right. So you went, Alan went three, you went four. Nick, if you go for 1, 2, 3, 5, and then Jim, you've got 6.
Don't lose many football matches. And nice that will one. That will get us to there where we need to be. I promise.
You're right, it will.
Go on, Jim.
Jim's got to think of 6 now.
Where does the message go before it gets to Jim?
I don't know. It must go via
the Forest Green.
It swims across the res, obviously.
Yeah. 6 words, Jim.
Just spirit.
That's 2.
Spark. All right. Performance, resilience. Words.
No, you've used them now.
Do you know what? I'm going to put him out of his misery. Well, tonight on the Mansfield Matters podcast, my thanks, as always, to all of the Mansfield Matters podcast panel. Which tonight has consisted of Alan Wilson, Clive Parkin, Jim Evans, and Nick of Mansfield Town shirts fame. I am trying to put the image on screen, but it's not showing up, so there you go. Join us again next week as we reflect on, hopefully, a 6-0 win over Forest Green and an 8-0 win over Harrogate. And then we'll all be celebrating in Nando's. As always, you can join us throughout the week and have your say on your team. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Until then, get yourself to Forest Green, get yourself to the One Course Stadium, support the Stags, and hopefully continue what is turning out to be a potential promotion chasing journey. I'm running out of words. Who cares? Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.